Okay, everybody, workday's over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
Jonathan Rand, producer of this program, is back. I believe he's out of his self-induced hidey hole because the Braves do look like they're comfortably in the lead of their series against the Dodgers.
Yes. They're comfortable, right?
Yeah. Last night was totally comfortable for the Braves,
yeah,
right?
It's weird deja vu all over again.
A team from Atlanta has a big lead in a postseason? Is that problematic in any way?
Is this how we're going to start things?
Absolutely, Rand. I haven't talked to you since last week. You showed up in a Braves uniform, and the Braves almost did the thing last night. You damn right I'm bringing this
That's
up.
Fair. That's fair. It's fair. I'm pumped. I feel good. Like, but then again, I always feel good.
You're going full Ross from Friends.
I'm fine.
I don't know why I'm talking like this.
I'm
sweating a little bit.
You're a State and Braves fan, and you feel fine?
Listen, my life expectancy is probably 4 more years. I'm fine.
I was going to say, I was like,
brutal.
Bless you for your continued optimism.
Absolutely brutal. I got back from the fair yesterday. I wasn't on the show yesterday because I'd scheduled PTO, because if I was going to go to the fair this year, I was going to do it during the middle of the week, in the middle of the afternoon, when there wasn't as many people.
Yeah, that's smart. We went last night. We didn't have a choice.
Yeah, I missed you last night.
Yeah, I think I was getting there just as you were leaving, basically. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So I left around 8:30. You were getting there around that time? With all the teenagers
like seven-something, yeah.
Oh, Lauren, that's amateur hour.
Oh, I saw all the teens, yeah.
That's
sure
amateur
did.
Hour.
Sure did, and I hadn't eaten dinner yet, and you know how I am.
Oh, yeah, you get hangry.
Uh-huh. I didn't eat until 8:30 p.m.
Oh, no.
Ask Eric how that went for everyone. It didn't go well. It did not go well. I finally got my lobster pops.
Oh, from Oak City Fish and Chips?
Yeah. There was no way they were going to live up to how hungry I was, but they were good.
They're good. No.
They were good.
Look, Oak City Fish and Chips.
And I got your suggested dish.
The roast turkey
that
leg with shrimp Alfredo and dirty rice.
Was great.
Told you.
Yeah.
Told you.
I had faith in you for that, and I like all of those things.
When it comes to fair food, it's like my Super Bowl. Do you think I'm going to tell people something that I don't believe? When I tell you
I know.
That the stuffed turkey leg with shrimp Alfredo and dirty rice is legit, I'm not making that up.
And then I had to go buy Peachy's, which it seems like everybody is on to Peachy's now.
Yeah, that was the spot. That was super busy last night.
Peachy's was so good.
They do donuts. They do giant donuts and pretzels.
Have you not had a Peachy's?
I've not had Peachy's.
Are you kidding me?
People talk.
I literally might have you come to. We have three right now. Three of the huge ones.
Yeah.
We have three left. No,
donuts.
That is the best donut I've ever had in my life, and it's not close.
Really?
Yes.
That's big talk.
Oh, my God.
All right.
They're so good.
All right. Well, you know what? I got a media pass. I can always go for lunch.
You need to get.
Maybe tomorrow.
You need to get the Peachy's.
But then I get all napped for the show. That wouldn't be good.
Just say you can save it. Like, we've got some saved because they're that good. Like,
right,
so
you know
good.
What? I might drop by after the show. It's on my way home.
Just saying.
Get a donut. It's the OG alongside Lauren Brownlow. I'm Joe Ovius. Giglio, as most people know by now, he's out a few days as he is with his family. An update on his kids. They're doing better, and hopefully they'll be out of the hospital. In a couple days. Anyway. The Canes Corner podcast, you get a fresh one tonight with Adam Gold. Canes taking on the Montreal Canadiens in one of the most overhyped regular season meetings I've seen with the Carolina Hurricanes in a long time over Jesperi Kotkaniemi, the guy who signed the offer sheet at $6 million, as though the Canes did something wrong here, but whatever.
I don't understand
Montreal,
that. I think we might have to have an explain that to me like I'm five.
Yeah, we'll talk to Trip Tracy about that at 3:45. NC State is going down to Miami on Saturday. Uh-huh. They're taking on the Miami Hurricanes. My dad's actually down there right now. He's so excited for this game.
Isn't he watching this from the Fountain Blue? Didn't he tell us that?
He's staying at the Fountain Blue.
I thought he's staying there.
He's staying at the Fountain Blue.
I asked him to come on at the panic room, and he said no because he didn't want to be on video.
He didn't want to do that.
Okay.
So my dad is actually going to the game, and I just joked with him. I'm like, why would you want to watch
Whatever that's going to be.
That's going to be. And, of course, my dad is like, well, it's my two teams, so I'll come out a winner regardless.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Because my dad has adopted NC State. I mean, considering he paid two full tuitions to NC State for me and my brother, I could see why he has some affinity for
and
the Wolfpack.
Your dad probably knows better than anybody that series has been sneaky, like weird and funny entertaining.
It has. I mean, I remember, I actually remember going down to the Orange Bowl. It was the second to last game for the Orange Bowl. And that was NC State in Miami. Went down there because I thought, all right, you know, I grew up going to the Orange Bowl. And here's a team that, you know, it's from the school I graduated from. I might as well, right, for old time's sake. And NC State won on a last-second field goal. That was the first time I'd ever seen Miami lose at the Orange Bowl.
What year was that, you said?
This was 2007?
Was it 7?
I think it was 2007.
That's the game that's my favorite State-Miami game because it's the game where Kirby Freeman was 1 of 14 passing.
Yes.
And the one was a touchdown.
It was a horrendous
game.
And
he didn't complete a pass for the last 35 minutes of the football game. It still took State overtime to win it.
It was a horrendous.
The most hilarious thing ever.
So my attitude towards this game has been State shouldn't have any issues. Miami's a bit of a broken team right now. They lost their top running back. They don't have De'Aaron King. They have their third-string quarterback.
Yeah, losing that running back hurts.
Not even their backup. Tyler Van Dyke is their third string quarterback.
Who was the backup? I don't know. Are we talking like Nkosi Perry? Because he transferred?
No. There was another guy who
there
got
There was
hurt.
Another guy.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Oh.
So, anyway.
Okay.
Man, Diaz is done, in my opinion. So, State, who's kind of coming into their own on the road after a nice win against Boston College, I think they can back it up. But I did not realize that Tyler Van Dyke, the quarterback for Miami, did a face-off with De'Aaron King, who's out for the season after shoulder surgery. Mm-hmm. Because he said during media availability that NC State cannot stop us. Can't stop us. And I'm like, and he pointed out to last year. You weren't the quarterback last year, dude.
Yeah, that was the, I was going to say, I saw the clip. It sounded like he said they couldn't stop us last year. Like, we're confident we can do something along those lines, right? Like, that was kind of what I heard in the clip. But I was just like,
Right. And there's one key difference between last year and the numbers they put up on NC State, which was the De'Aaron King show. Mm-hmm. And
he was great.
He was
in
great
game.
In that game.
So he was good. He did it himself, though. Like, that's the thing.
He's the reason why Miami had any sort of hype going into this
season.
The fact that he actually came back.
Exactly.
But you are not De'Aaron King.
No. No, no, honey, you're not.
Right, that's definitely a bless your
heart.
Oh,
honey,
no. Yeah, that's definitely a bless your heart.
What are you doing, man?
Plus, NC State is one of the top defenses in the country. Not just the ACC, but in the country. And in terms of third down stops, they've been absolutely fantastic. I think they're the number two defense in the ACC overall. So I'm not quite sure what you're getting at here, Tyler.
Yeah, I don't know. I will say this for Tyler, and I only know this because I've obviously been working on the my GIF preview. Well,
yeah.
I was going to say previews, but State's the only team that's playing, so it's a preview. Their first and second half stats with Tyler in the lineup, though, are pretty wild.
Lauren.
I'm letting you know because I think that let me explain why. I know the defenses are different.
Yeah,
but I think that Miami has had this weird thing where they almost like lull people to sleep because of how bad they are offensively in the first half. Like, we saw it against Carolina. I didn't watch the Virginia-Miami game.
I did.
They look awful in the first half. The stats are so bad.
They're terrible.
They can't do anything. And then in the second half, they come out. At some point, it clicks, whether it's in the second quarter, third quarter, whatever. And all of a sudden, they look great. Again, I understand the defense are different, but I also think that there's this weird thing that almost happens to the other teams, too, where they think, well, this is who they are. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait, what?
No,
it's bizarre.
I think ultimately, both Virginia's defense and North Carolina's defense showed you who they were, which is not very good. Virginia can't stop anybody.
But Miami's offense isn't very good either.
That was my overall point against Virginia when they lost on Thursday night, especially considering that it wasn't Tyler Van Dyke who was the reason why Miami came back in that game. You know why they came back in that game? Because of Cameron. So they ran the ball, which is why I got upset at Manny Diaz, because he did the same thing that Dino Babers, the Syracuse coach, did on Friday, last Friday.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I'm sorry, are you running the ball against this porous defense, and now suddenly you start playing for the field goal? You deserve to lose.
And Van Dyke's also one of the weirder players in the league, too, in that his stats are awful.
Yeah.
Like, just awful. Mm-hmm. And at times, he looks like his stats. But then at other times, you're like, how does this guy that just made that play, whether it's like running away to get away from trouble or running for a first down on that 4th and 10 play against you, you're like, how did that guy that just like threw to no one do that? It just makes no sense.
But you know what, though? This actually ties into the theme of the week for NC State, and that's about disrespect or nobody talking about them.
Sure.
Dave Doran spent a good chunk of Saturday after their win against Boston College talking about the lack of attention being paid to NC State. He chalked it up to disrespect or keep hating on us. I don't think... Oh, and then there was the ACC Network.
Oh, my God.
The ACC Network
well,
tweeted out...
Well, that was just...
No. But here's the thing. The ACC Network tweeted out this graphic about chances to win... It was a graphic that was meant to display who was going to win the Atlantic. Chances to win the Atlantic.
But they said Coastal Chaos in the tweet.
But in the tweet, they talked about Coastal Chaos. They don't know. You know, the ACC Network doesn't even know their division. We all make mistakes. It is what it is.
Yeah.
They deleted the tweet. Whatever.
Right.
But having talked to some people over at the football offices, they did not chalk that up to a mistake. They used that as more disrespect. Think about it, Lauren. People are disrespecting NC State so much, they don't even expect them to win the Atlantic. So much so, they have a better chance of winning the Coastal than they do the Atlantic.
This is
right
big,
now.
Like Michael Jordan energy in a way that's like a mix of like both like eye roll inducing and also like, okay, I get it. You know what
I
mean? Like
when they took it personal.
Right.
I have.
It's like this is the same league that accidentally printed two obscenities on their media guide. I don't know that they did that on purpose. Just saying.
I maintain that what Dave Doran, the head coach at NC State, is doing is the thing to do in these situations.
Oh, sure.
Play the disrespect card.
Yeah.
Because I think you and I can both agree on this. For whatever reason, actually, we know the reasons.
We do?
I think we do.
Okay, well, go on.
NC State has to work really freaking hard to get any attention in football. Like, consistent, serious discussion when it comes to football. So when they find themselves in the mix for a wide-open ACC, on College Game Day on Saturday when they were discussing the possibility of who could win the ACC, NC State didn't come up. Now, I'm not saying that somebody needed to go on the game day set and say, oh, I think NC State can win the Atlantic. That's not what I'm saying.
That is weird, though.
However,
yeah, I agree.
You at least bring them up.
Yeah, they have to at least be in the conversation right now. Like, I'm sure Wake got brought up.
Of course they did.
Right.
Because people love Dave Clawson, and they think what he's doing at Wake Forest is incredible. And it is.
Right.
But, you know,
maybe
I think...
Maybe it's because Wake's undefeated. If Wake weren't undefeated, I don't know. I think maybe that they would probably do the same thing with them, but still.
Yeah, so there is a lot of extra work that NC State has to do to get any sort of serious discussion outside of when Cole Kubelik, I believe in 2017, called NC State a dark horse to win, you know, a dark horse to make the college football playoff, which, of course, we all made fun of. So that's kind of where NC State is right now. But as with all things in sports, if you just keep winning, well, then eventually they're going to have to talk about you.
Yeah.
And I know people throw Mississippi State in NC State's face, you know, losing on the road to Mississippi State. And, yeah, I'm not sitting here trying to tell you it was a acceptable loss or whatever.
Right.
But it is college football, and there's all sorts of dumb losses on people's schedule.
Sure.
All the time. Mm-hmm. NC State just happens to have their boneheaded loss against Mississippi State. Everybody's got one. People love Pitt right now, right? Kenny Pickett, their quarterback, is getting all the love.
They got Western Michigan, yeah.
They got crushed by Western Michigan.
I thought they only lost by 7.
No, I thought they got crushed. Well, no, that's right. It was like a 45.
They had to come back, I think,
to
get, because their defense was just horrible.
So anyway, that's where we are. That's where we are with NC State and I guess the disrespect that's taking place right now for the Wolfpack. Trip Tracy would know. Trip Tracy, Valley Sports, joining us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. Trip, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be with you guys. Just getting ready to leave my hotel room and head over to the Bell Center. This should be a fun game coming up.
Okay, let's get to this. All right. What am I missing here as it relates to the dynamic between Montreal and the Carolina Hurricanes? The Montreal did what was well within their CBA rights to do an offer sheet for Sebastian Aho. And the same goes for Jesperi Kotkaniemi, who they signed for $6 million in this offseason. I get that the trolling of the $20 signing bonus and everything else is related to what happened in the past. So what is the point of origin for the actual heat between these two organizations over something that is what teams can do in terms of a signing sheet, an offer sheet?
It's such a good question because it's in the rule book for a reason. I think that in some ways there's a – unwritten supposed code between general managers that you don't do it. It pushes the number up, but it's an option that teams have. And there wasn't any of this criticism. I remember, guys, because I was in Mykonos, Greece at the time when the Aho offer sheet came out. And that ended up being, I think, a big-time favor for the Carolina Hurricanes, because how long would that contract negotiation have gone?
Agreed.
So Sebastian had it out of the way in early July. And so he was able to move forward with the rest of his summer. So I thought that was a big-time benefit for the Hurricanes. Looking at this summer, I think the Hurricanes looked at a variety of options to try to get help up front with some of the departures. And they eventually looked at a player that the Canadians were going to have trouble fitting within their cap structure. And it was, I think, a diligent move in a one-year sense, because it's an offer sheet based upon projection. And you just don't know, because at this stage, you don't know what he's going to develop into being. If he is able, yes, Barry Kokkaniemi, to develop into whether it be a winger or a centerman that can be a core piece for your team, why wouldn't you take advantage of the opportunity? I mean, it's a no-brainer. Now, it's still to be determined, in my opinion, to gauge when you have a tremendous opportunity to watch him throughout the course of this year to get a better idea of what you think he can develop into being. And in a perfect world, he develops into being a core piece that you have for a long period of time. So it's a resource that it's within the framework of the rules to use. Why wouldn't you use
that's,
it?
Yeah.
And anytime there's a bit of a dislike, animosity, isn't it great for the game? I mean,
does
it sell when it's all hunky-dory between teams?
But
hockey players are such good guys. It's good when there's this type of hostility and dislike.
But it's also gotten silly where I have this, and Trip Tracy joining us here on the OG, alongside Lauren Brownlow, I'm Joe Ovius. It's like I have this scenario where Montreal employs a man and they stick him in a coat closet and they're like, I need you to find something in the rule book where we can peg the Carolina Hurricanes. Sir, we got something. What is it? They've only played 4 preseason games. What? Let's get them. And it's just kind of funny at this point.
But it's like you said, Trip, though, right? Like they said Aho and offer sheet. I just don't understand why this one was so weird to me.
Was it the insinuation from Montreal's front office that the Hurricanes simply could not afford their version of an offer sheet?
Well, Joe, Lauren, you go back and whether the Mark Bergevin, who is a very fine general manager, whether he thought it at the time or not that Tom Dundon wouldn't step up to the plate on the Aho offer sheet, whether that factored in, only Mark and the Molson family and the Montreal Canadiens would know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Tom wasted little time on that front.
Yes.
And, you know, it was a miscalculation, because the Canes have been a salary cap team since the moment that Tom bought the hockey club. I don't know why they would think that Tom Dundon wouldn't step up to the plate on that front. Is there any type of – I don't think there's really – I mean, I think it had to be privately fun for the Hurricanes to be able to – once they held serve after Montreal did on the Aho front to respond and take advantage again of a resource that you have. But I come back to – Joe, Lauren, hockey players are such – across the board, good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And at times, it's so strange to say this, but I think that prevents the growth of the game, because there's no conflict. There's no drama. Everybody loves drama.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Johnny Drama and Entourage. So this type of drama that exists now between these two teams is fabulous. It's fabulous for both hockey clubs. It's fabulous for the NHL. Now we observe the growth of Jesperi Kokkaniemi, and I'm really hoping he can have an impactful night tonight, because that will really, I think, make the comfort, the adjustment, still as a very young player, it will make it jump on the highway with a new team if he can be a considerable part of a win here tonight.
Chip Tracy, Bally Sports, joining us here on the OG. Alongside Lauren Brownlow, I'm Joe Ovius. You can hear the game tonight on 99.9 The Fan. Alec Campbell will have Stormwatch and Aftermath. Tripp will join Alec Campbell after the game. So my curiosity will close on after only two games worth of data so far, but I know a lot of eyes are on what's going on between the pipes. And Freddie Anderson has started both these games. How have you assessed his play so far? I know he's a different kind of goalie compared to, say, you know, compared to Nedeljkovic. How has he played so far, in your opinion?
Well, eventually I'm going to get to the same concept that I'm hoping for with Akoko Niemi tonight. And I say that from the standpoint of Joe. His first preseason game, it was just a preseason game at home against Tampa. You could see the calm nature of the way that he plays the game. He's a big guy that plays big, so he utilizes his size. And then at opening night, which everything went right in making a first impression with all of the new faces, with a sellout crowd against the Islanders, tough game for a goalie to play because he makes what looks like a big save in the first period, but then upon review, you could see that it crossed the goal line by a matter of millimeters. Then a couple of times in the game, he makes a big save, but before he could enjoy the save on the next whistle, puck's in the back of the net. He had some rust with his puck handling with his defenseman. So then you go into Nashville, and you never want to go into a game saying, we want the goalie to stand on his head and see a heavy workload of shots. Mm-hmm. But privately, you wouldn't mind it. And that's exactly what happened against Nashville. He was the single reason, with a country mile attached next to it, Joe, that they won the hockey game. Mm-hmm. So that, again, just really speeds up his comfort level with the Hurricanes, the trust that his teammates have in Freddie Anderson, the trust that Rod Brind'Amour and his coaching staff have in Freddie. I mean, that's how you draw it up if you want it to happen. We've been treated to some very good goaltending the last few years, whether it be, you mentioned, Nedeljkovic, Peter Mrazek, James Reimer, who just found a way to win. But that was a dominating performance where Freddie Anderson took over the hockey game. The game, he put it in his favor on its ear. And that is why the Hurricanes have had him on their radar for several years, because when he plays like that, he's elite. And, you know, that was crystal clear from stem to stern in the win Saturday in Nashville.
Tripp Tracy, Bally Sports, Carolina Hurricanes. We appreciate the time. Have fun watching the game tonight. I'm guessing there will be a lot of boos to announce through, but it should be fun.
If only the three of us get an offer sheet someday.
Oh,
right?
Actually, my offer sheet would literally be $20, Tripp.
Mine wouldn't be mad.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Tripp, take it easy, man. Jonathan Alexander, Charlotte Observer, he's joining us right now in the Heister Automotive Group. He covers the Carolina Panthers. And the Panthers were in the news today because they were attached to some trade rumor or trade talk report related to Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. Now, I understand why the Deshaun Watson trade talk has picked up because I believe we're nearing the trade deadline. And the Panthers were one of the initial teams that was interested in Deshaun Watson before all of these sexual assault allegations came to bear. But, Jonathan, yeah, you got a report today saying that that's not the case. What's the latest here?
Yeah, just from talking to multiple sources, the Panthers, they haven't engaged in any. They're not in the mix right now. They're not in the mix for any Deshaun Watson trades. You know, right now they're focused on Sam Darnold. Now, you know, I should be mindful. We should be mindful that if Sam Darnold were to throw 7 interceptions in the past 2 games, that opinion could change. And you could see the Panthers try to make a move. But as of right now, they're not in the mix. They haven't been in talks with Houston about a trade for Watson.
I'm curious if you know kind of the reason for that. Is it the stuff with all of the women and the accusations, or is it something else in terms of what's holding them back? I'd like to think it's the former, but I certainly don't assume anything.
Yeah, same here. I'd like to think it's the former, too. But I also think it's a combination of things, and I think it's that, the uncertainty of that, as well as what Houston is looking for, which is unfortunate, you know. But I do think a lot of factors kind of play a part in that. Plus, you know, they don't want to, you know, give up on Sam Darnold right now at this point and cause him to always be kind of looking over his shoulder.
And Jonathan, I have a question too. I know David Tepper, and this was pointed out to me too, when he was hired. I mean, we all remember, or not hired, when he bought the team, we all know why he bought the team. Like, I think we all remember the circumstances with Jerry Richardson. And I did not remember this part, but Josh Graham reminded me of it, that he said sexual harassment will not be tolerated, like zero tolerance for it. So, like, I guess I just don't understand, you know, if they were going to go after, like, how would that jive?
But will he help them win? I mean, then suddenly things change. I mean, that's always the case with these situations, unfortunately.
I mean, that he said that. Well, I didn't say it. Like, I didn't ask him to say that.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would hope he would, you know, stick to that word, because, you know, what's being a lesbian to Sean Watson is pretty bad. You know, yeah, it's terrible things. But you know, some teams end up, you know, changing their minds or looking past these things. I don't know what the Panthers will do, but you know, certainly it's. I mean, he mentioned it, so it's certainly something he should, you know, probably stick to, you know, for the good of the team and for the good of the franchise.
Jonathan Alexander, Charlotte Observer, joining us here on the OG alongside Lauren Brownlow. I'm Joe Ovius. He covers the Carolina Panthers. All right. So earlier in the week, coming off a tough loss to the Minnesota Vikings, Matt Rhule, head coach of the Panthers, said that they want to recommit to the run. Mm-hmm. Without Christian McCaffrey, what exactly does that mean? Can I take it to the extent that they just don't want Sam Darnold making more mistakes? What is this more commitment to a run?
I mean, I think part of that has to do with it. You throw it with Sam Darnold 41 times. You know, with the offensive line they have, Sam Darnold's bound to make a mistake. I think they see that Chuba Hubbard is running the ball well. Mm-hmm. He had 24 for 101 yards against the Eagles. He averaged, I think, 4.7 yards per carry in this last game, even though they went away from the run. I think they see that he has the ability and the potential to break a big run, and they want to, you know, utilize him more, which they should be utilizing him more, because Sam Darnold has shown that he is mistake prone. So I think they're looking at all that. I think they want to do a better job establishing a run and not having Sam Darnold pass it. I don't think Sam Darnold should pass it more than 35 times a game. I think that even seems high.
That feels high.
Yeah. That's when you fall. Like, as soon as they cross over that, I think that was too high. So I think they want to be a more balanced team. And I think starting with running with Chuba Hubbard, I think that's where it starts.
I mean, even Darnold running more would be fine. Like, he had some success doing that. Like, maybe just don't throw it. Mm. Come on.
Exactly. 5 rushing touchdowns. He has the legs. You know, they can get creative with it.
Something else. I'm just saying.
Jonathan Alexander, Charlotte Observer. He covers the Carolina Panthers. He's joining us here on the OG. Hey, Jonathan, we appreciate the time, man. Wanted to clear that up with the Deshaun Watson trade rumors, but clearly that not of this time right now. So things could change, but not of this time. We'll talk to you later. Found out today that the founder of Emidio's Italian restaurant on Western Boulevard passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick Emidio DeAngelis went to NC State. He was from Pennsylvania originally, played football, and in 1963 opened up Emidio's, basically because he missed his family's cooking. I would imagine that Italian food in Raleigh in 1963 wasn't exactly the height of cuisine.
Ooh, it's probably rough.
So he said, you know what? I'm just going to do it myself. And Emidio's has been a Raleigh staple since 1963, and it also is the unofficial NC State Sports Museum. It's an amazing, if you've never been.
It's great.
It is a great space, and I wish there were more places like it at, you know, other university towns and whatnot. And, you know, NC State's always been kind of in a weird spot because it's like the capital, North Carolina. It's an actual city, and then NC State is there. It's not like, say, at UNC, which Chapel Hill is the university intents and purposes.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, you went to North Carolina. My wife went to Carolina. And over the years, you can see just kind of the diminished presence of those old staples.
100%.
In
college towns. It's
depressing
to be on Franklin Street.
Right?
Sometimes it's like, oh.
So I think, like, on Franklin Street, for Tar Heel fans, like, the equivalent would be Sutton's, right? Where they've got pictures of the teams and everything else. You get your sandwiches. But although, didn't Sutton's close down? Or is that still open?
It's still open.
It's still open? Okay.
The
Rat's long gone.
Yep.
So all that. But that's essentially Emidio's for those who might not be aware. James Curl, friend and friend of the program. Yes. He used to host a podcast called Riddick and Reynolds from Amedeos.
Yeah, I used to be on it with him.
From 2011 to 2016. And now he hosts with Corey Smith the Pack Pride Weekly podcast, which is still being made at Amedeos. He joins us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. What's up, James?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Lauren.
Hi.
Hey, Joe's dad.
Yeah, he's currently listening right now. Now, James and I were at NC State at the same time. We used to hang out at Witherspoon Student Center on the third floor. He was at the technician. I was at WKNC. And James, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. You are a huge Pack fan. You've always been a big Pack fan. But did you appreciate Amedeos while you were in college?
No, not enough. I did not make nearly enough trips over to Amedeos when I was a student. And it wasn't until I started doing the podcast over at Amedeos that I kind of truly got a sense of just how impressive it is in scope of its kind of, you know, shrine-like nature to NC State.
And, you know, since you've been going there, you've been doing the podcast there, it is a relic of its time. And if you do go to NC State, you almost owe it to yourself to go so you can gain a greater appreciation for NC State history that sometimes doesn't get talked about, right?
Yeah, and of course, all of that kind of flowed out of kind of what Dick was able to build there. You know, it started as kind of a relatively small space, and then through its, you know, growth in popularity with the state students and, you know, the broader Raleigh community around there, it kept growing and growing, and now it takes up, you know, pretty much all that entire half end of the little, you know, strip of stores that's there. Its initial size was pretty small, but Dick and his brother Lou really created that restaurant as kind of an opportunity, like you said, to kind of offer some of that authentic Italian cuisine that folks from up north had a greater appreciation for than I think us North Carolinians did back in the 50s and 60s. And it's been, you know, just a landmark institution for NC State fans everywhere.
And James, why don't you tell people what it's like to kind of be hanging out there doing a podcast? I mean, it was wild because it was like you never knew who was going to pop in there.
No, and Dick was one of the most notable pop-ins who would
yes.
pop in. I'm sure you were on an episode or two of this there where Dick, you know, unfortunately, I didn't get to meet Dick until later in life. But, you know, even in his 70s, he would pop by the show occasionally.
Yeah.
And he would, it didn't matter if we were talking with someone on the phone or had a guest there in person, Dick would offer his input from across the restaurant. And yes. I miss him greatly for those moments because it really was a thing of beauty to see him just kind of, you know, drop in and say, "Hey, James." And then, you know, you kind of give him this look like, hey, Dick, we're actually kind of recording right now, but sure, go ahead. Throw in your input.
It's your place. You're the boss, you know?
Yeah. Your name is on the building. You get to do whatever you want.
Exactly.
James Curl, who hosts the Pack Pride Weekly podcast with Corey Smith, that gets recorded at Amedeos, joining us here on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. Dick Amedeo DeAngelis passed away, and he was the founder of Amedeos Italian Restaurant on Western Boulevard that opened up back in 1963. So years ago, when Chuck Amata was the head coach at NC State, Amedeos advertised on the old 850 The Buzz. And part of the deal was I had to go to Chuck Amato's office at the Murphy Center with the Amedeos family and to get some recordings because Dick was talking to Chuck and things like that. And I think you just kind of hit upon it there. You know, incredibly nice man who would talk to anybody and just have a good time. And you could see that play out when he was talking to Chuck Amato or he was talking to a customer. And I'm sure he was like that with you when you actually interacted with him.
Yeah. I mean, Dave Parker, you know, Amedeos' son-in-law deserves a tremendous amount of credit for the way Amedeos looks today. He's kind of the, you know, museum curator, if you will, of all the stuff that's on the walls there. But he was the guy who reached out to me about us doing the show there. But, you know, Dick was someone who just immediately embraced what we were doing. It was me and Austin Johnson and Derek Medlin, and we were just three dudes talking about NC State sports. But he really kind of embraced us, and he really enjoyed kind of the vibe of us recording a show there. And, you know, I always left a show. Anytime Dick was either in the audience or, you know, the rare opportunities where he had to join us, always left us with a smile on my face, just because his love for NC State came through, and his love for us doing the show there came yes. through as well. He really, really embraced us and made us feel welcome there in a way that's really kind of hard to describe. You know, when his passing was announced, those were the memories that kind of came back, was just his joy and excitement for NC State sports and for us doing podcasts there at Medios.
James Curl, who does the Pack Pride Weekly podcast with Corey Smith here on the OG. Hey, James, appreciate the time. It was nice to catch up, like actually talking rather than, you know, through tweets. We should do
yes,
this.
I know.
We should do this more often.
Yeah. You know, usually he's scolding me for getting after national media members or something along those lines. So this has been refreshing.
So, really, James, for those
well,
who
James,
are
James, you've mellowed a bit.
For those who don't know, James is a hardcore NC State fan, and you have mellowed out, but you do this thing where you react in the immediacy, and then you kind of go back through some, you know, with much more. A much more calm demeanor, and you uh-huh. usually go with, it wasn't as bad as I initially thought. Yeah, it never really is.
No, that's fair to say. And, you know, one of these years, it'll sink in that maybe my initial reaction is not exactly the most accurate one, but I haven't gotten there yet,
but
someday I will.
But again, this is for people who might not know you, and I've known you for a very long time. Even in college, you were of the calmest demeanor like you are now, but there's something about NC State sports that brings out another side, man. It's like Hulk smash. It's
yeah.
hilarious.
Yeah, well, when Lauren did the NC State Stuff podcast, she had me on, and
yes.
I told her that, you know, I kind of hope that my kids don't get this same kind of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type personality thing, and I'm happy to report that my kids do not like NC State nearly as much as I do,
good.
So I think they've successfully avoided that
they've evolved.
Overly emotional reaction.
They've
yeah.
evolved. All right, James, good to catch up, man. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
Speaking of vibes, Kendra in digital now joining us, but Kendra's actually not in the digital office. Kendra, did you get out of work early? Are you at the nail salon right now?
Guys, I'm at the nail salon. It's a little loud, so I'm just giving you a heads up.
Okay, it is a little loud right now. What are you doing,
yeah, but,
Manny?
You know, we've got some tunes on.
I can hear that. What are you doing, Manny Petty? What's going on?
Just a petty. I have a wedding this weekend, so
oh,
the whole
nice.
Bridal party's here.
I'm overdue for a pedicure in the worst way. Maybe I'll do that this weekend.
There you go.
All right. So you get a lot of direct messages. And who knows? You might get more direct messages after the fact that we said that you're getting your pedicure. So
people
you
have a thing.
Exactly. Not knocking it.
Hello. I lost you guys for a second.
Oh, no. Are we going to have to, we might have to do something
oh,
else.
I'm back.
Oh, you're
can
back.
You
okay.
Me?
All right. So Kendra
yeah.
gets a lot of
Sorry,
direct
guys.
Messages. Kendra gets a lot of direct messages. And it's up to us to figure out which is the fake one. And these direct messages get a little cringy. So let's get to the first direct message, Kendra. What do we got?
Okay. So can you hear me still?
Yes.
Okay. So the first one says, I wanted to know if you'd ever consider a Broadway show with me. It would be a true and genuine honor to have you on my arm as you're a super stunner.
Wait.
As your super
He's going to be the super stunner?
No, as you're a super stunner.
Oh, as you're
oh,
a super stunner.
Okay, cool,
that makes
cool,
more
cool,
sense.
Because cool.
otherwise, I like his bold statement. I'm the super stunner. All right, what's the next one?
Okay, so the next one is, this was in response to a picture, and it said, I have to preface it. This was a picture of me in a bikini.
Okay.
It says, the scenery in this picture makes me feel the intimacy of nature. Wherever this is, must be my next travel destination. It would be even better if you could join. In response to me in a bikini, by the way.
The
All right.
intimacy.
That one's real. That has to
That's
be real.
Gotta be
That's
real.
Gotta
Definitely.
Be real. All right. We could just eliminate that one. That one's real.
All right.
What's the third one?
Sorry. The third one is, I know this is random, but I just want to know if having a child is a deal breaker. I'm ready to settle down.
Wow. Oh man.
I want to say the third one is fake.
Yeah, that's my instinct as well.
No, I've got it. It's number one's fake.
Really?
Which one?
Why? Because that's from Rand?
Yes, I use Super Stunner frequently in my vernacular.
I mean,
I was
going to
say, it's the Super Stunner part that, like, is throwing me.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to go with three.
I think I'm going to go with one, actually, because I don't know that Broadway people would use the word Super Stunner.
Thank you, right?
Yeah. Okay.
No, it was the third.
No!
The third,
oh!
The Broadway I did get. That was recently.
Super Stunner.
Interesting.
Super Stunner. Yeah. Rand, you got to start. You're a Broadway guy. You got to start incorporating that.
I was like, wait, is this from Rand?
I'm not sure. No, I don't use Super Stunner. I use Smoke Show. No, I don't use those.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm laughing so hard.
All right. Well, don't have them cut your toe. All right. That'd be bad if you're laughing.
All right, guys.
All right, Kendra, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good time at this wedding.
Okay, you too.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's time for Rant 2.
Acapella the news.
Well, I don't know if y'all know this, but the Canes are playing Montreal tonight. And Jesperi Kotkaniemi, it's a homecoming for him. You know, obviously we're going to talk to Tripp Tracy about it. Big, big day for Jesperi. So I felt like we should sing about the homecoming for our boy and what he's going to spend his $20 signing bonus money on. Yeah, homecoming. I'm coming home again. Do you think about me now and then? Do you think about me now and then? 'Cause I'm coming home again.
Coming home again.
I met this Finn at 21 years old. And what I love most, he had skills to mold. I said, excuse me, Kotkaniemi, I know you got plenty, but here's a 20, though. Come play with Aho. From that point on, he's been on Rod's lines. Knew he was in when we got that offer sheet signed. Surprised he didn't get a match from Montreal. We trolled a bit, making that bonus real small. Now, we gotta work on a southern draw. He'll have time in the playoffs being led by Stahl. He's still getting used to playing in Raleigh. But so far, so good, surging at PNC. Hoping he performs, he was pick number 3. I bet that's a skill set people want to see. Now he's back up north where they'd like him to be. Now take that 20 for a Canadian shopping spree. Do you think about me now and then?
There you go. Take that 20 for a Canadian shopping spree, Jesperi. Have a great time, buddy.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast. Part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m. And you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.